We're going to turn to 1 Kings and the second chapter as we come now to our message. 1 Kings, please, and the second chapter. And I trust that the message that we have before us this day will certainly be that which is respectful and dignified in relation to what we are considering this morning. At the same time, bring us to Christ and to the gospel and to these great eternal truths which are ever before us in the Word of God. And the message, very simply, that this morning is London Bridge is down. London Bridge is down. And I draw your attention to the words of verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 Kings and chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. I go the way of all the earth. With the word of God before us, let's seek him together in prayer as we come to our message for this day. Our Father, we thank thee so far for the sense of thy nearness that we would never take for granted. Lord, we would not dare enter into the house of God and assume and just presume upon ourselves the blessings of heaven. No, Lord, for these things we must plead, and for the very presence of God we must cry this day. And right now, as we would steady ourselves in thy holy presence, there must come from our hearts a burning longing and cry that we might see Jesus in all of his majesty and all of his glory, and that we might in turn be made aware of our own mortality, and yet at the same time, the threshold of eternity upon which we stand. Oh Lord, will thou not tarry with us for these few moments? Will the Lord not teach us out of Holy Scripture? And we will give thee all the praise, and we shall give thee all the glory. O Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray in the Savior's most worthy and precious name. Amen. London Bridge is down. As the now historic afternoon of Thursday has drawn into the pages of history itself and at the grounds of Balmoral, Scotland, and flanked by her loving family, Queen Elizabeth II, the nation's queen, admired and loved by us all, passed into God's eternity. And in that very moment, the code was then disseminated and spread far and wide. London Bridge is down. It's a phrase that we've come to read about and to understand a bit more in these last few days. And it refers to the not-so-secret code phrase used to pass on the news of her death to the Prime Minister and other key personnel. And at the same time, it puts in motion the plans UK-wide for an event which no one ever really wanted to hear. But we all knew, as the days began to draw on in these last number of weeks, was coming very soon. Incidentally, her father, George VI, was given the code Hyde Park Corner. I believe that in this instance, on the passing of Her Majesty, London Bridge is down is most fitting in many respects. The Queen herself, as we know, whether we see her on TV, for some of you in your life, you've met her to some extent in person. Well, she was a diminutive figure, wasn't she? I believe her height was 5'3". I never had the pleasure of meeting with her. It probably was a good thing. I would scare her, given the contrast of height between myself and her. Well, it was often said regarding Her Majesty that she commanded any room that she entered into despite this height. In God giving her 96 years, he also gave to our kingdom. And he gave, we should say, to the Commonwealth and to our world, something of a bridge, if I can use an expression. She represented, and she was, and we would testify to that, and we would agree of this day. She was a stable, and she gave the appearance of an ever-present influence. However, in light of all of these things, we must never forget her humanity, and that underneath the crown and off the throne and away from the public eye, she remained like all of us, human and an individual. And yet the words of Romans 13, verse 7, in the instruction of the Apostle Paul, remind us that it is upon every individual that we honour those who honour is due. And that's precisely what we are seeking to do, to stay in the house of God. And so in her and throughout a noble and peaceful reign, one which we often sang for multitudes of times, and we prayed for earnestly, we witnessed one who, in the words of the Prime Minister, and she said, this was one of the greatest leaders the world has ever known. Queen Elizabeth II took her throne at the tender age of 25, and behind her were the shadows of war barely a decade old. And by God's grace, she reigned through numerous shifts and changes in ever-changing society. And while the salvation of the soul and the standing before God will always be that which truly belongs within the sovereign knowledge and the mind of God, in her many speeches that she gave, particularly more towards the latter stages of her reign, she indicated, we hope and we trust, an individual and evangelical faith. It was in her Christmas speech of 2011 that particularly stood out when she said these words, which have been spread far and wide through media and online. And she said this, although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. The Queen went on to say, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important as they are, but a Savior with the power to forgive. For the Christian church, we return thanks to God for her remarkable reign, and we do so with our hearts closer drawn to our great King and to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his endless reign. My thoughts this day were turned almost immediately to this portion of Scripture, and therefore I took it as an indication from God to bring it as a message to you this day. To one of Scripture's most prominent kings, far from a perfect king, but a prominent king, to King David himself, and to the last moments before his death and the moment of his death itself. And with that phrase which I mentioned, London Bridge is down, I want us to deal with the passing of a monarch in our day. But I would, first of all, as we turn to the Scriptures, we notice a number of things. And the first one is this, that David had an awareness of death's approach. King David had an awareness of the approach of his death. Notice in verse 1, we read these Scriptures, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And the Scripture draws us to this fact that is beyond denial and outside of the realms of refusal, that here was a man as he approached stages in which soon he himself would give up his ghost. He understood that the approach of death was very much on his doorstep. You know, there are some very interesting and I think compelling comparisons between Queen Elizabeth II and King David, despite the fact they lived many, many years apart. Both enjoyed and were blessed with long reigns. Well, how long did David reign for? Well, we know it from Scripture that we've read. 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. His was a reign of 4 decades. His was a long reign, relatively speaking, of 40 years. He lived a life of 70 years. And we know that when it comes to the Queen herself, that most recently we celebrated her Platinum Jubilee. Astonishing, isn't it? 70 years. And even then, in our own celebrations, I guess it didn't really come into our thoughts that in the same year that we would mark her death, we knew it was coming. We often wondered how it would happen, in what way would the world respond, and now we see these things. Well, she served, as we know, as Britain's longest reigning monarch, and that itself is an astonishing feat. I read the other day that she reigned 30% of America's history. I mean, that's something that makes you sit up and realize not just the young nature of America as a country, but the extent of her reign itself, 30% of America's history. And so both David and Queen Elizabeth II, they occupy, by the grace of God, a long reign, and in some respects, stable reigns within their respective nations. But however, both oversaw great changes within their various kingdoms, and both served as figures from which many would draw inspiration from. While as believers, we look at David, and while we do not idolize a man or woman, far from it, yet we learn from these examples that are there in Scripture, David being one of them, projecting us, pointing us even to the great David, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I would say that every time that we remember Queen Elizabeth, or even we think now of our present king, it must constantly and always lift our hearts in thankfulness to a king who never dies and sees now no death, for he who has conquered it by his power. These are tremendous lessons that are ever before us. However, both also knew grief, and both knew what it was to have pain within the home. And we know that pain and suffering and division has come into the royal home and within the queen's life. And towards David's own reign, he even had the humility to say this in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, although my house be not so with God. David could have left that out. David, when he understood the approach of his death and the life that was soon running out and soon the years were no longer would be his, everything that he said in his final moments could have been to the contrary, but he lays it all honestly. He understands my home, my house, my family has not been so with God. But David possessed a hope because he went on to say, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. That for David was something that kept him strong to the very end. Both King David and for us now, Queen Elizabeth II, as we think back to the days preceding her passing, they grew weak in age. You see, the approach of death meant frailty and infirmity and weakness. In 1 Kings 1 and in verse 1, we read that David was old and he was stricken in years. Have you thought about that? You see, as we calculate from Scripture, he lived for 70 years. And maybe, you know, we think of the age of 17. I'm going to avoid myself passing insult to the fellowship here. But, you know, we may regard ourselves youthful at 70. Much to give, much still to offer in a sense. And we look at David, it seems to be the opposite picture. He's described as being old and stricken in years. And I think to myself, how is that the case? Well, for David, it was a man who knew the rigors of war. He was a man who led and commanded the armies to battle. He was a man who fought with his sword and defended with his shield on many occasions. He was a man who was often sent or ran himself into exile to save his life, to preserve his life. And there in the mountains, and there in the caves, and there in the forests, and there exposed to all the elements of the natural world. No wonder these years began to wear in his physical frame. So much so that we read in that portion of Scripture in Kings, with all the attempts to try to bring himself warmth through different means, he could keep no warmth. Such was the wizened, thin frame of King David. Our dear queen lived to see 96 years. Incredible, astonishing. But all that we saw in the last 2 days was a frame becoming weaker and weaker, and a person who seemed to possess this aura of being able to almost live forever. She must approach death, and she did. Kings die. Queens die. We all approach death. And you see, both knew, that is David and our dear Queen Elizabeth II, the approach of death. I have little knowledge as to the preparations made for the Queen's passing. I mentioned the protocol and the word London Bridge is down, which was used, which would move into motion all the various plans throughout the nation. With King Charles III now in place, and of course the coronation yet to come, the royal line continues unbroken. But the point I make in all of these references is that even David here makes preparation for his own death. He understands the approach of it. He knows that it knocks on his door. Many times a bow would flow past his head. A sword was nearly there to smite his heart. But God had preserved him. But now in his weakness, and now in his infirmity, and now in his old age, he sees it and he feels it. And then he gathers his son together. And as he sees death right before his very sight, he charges his son Solomon. And he says to his son Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. I realize it's before me. He makes preparation as he sees the approach of death. The question that we ask as we stare at mortality once more is very simple and it's very poignant. What preparation have you made for death? Listen, remember, kings and queens die young or not. They may reign for 1 year, for 100 years, but they die. And the most important lesson that we can ever draw as we understand of the approach of death in our very life is preparation. That we prepare to meet our God. And the question I ask is, what preparation have you made? You know, David, and we can speak with great certainty about David in terms of scripture truth, that we know he was imperfect. And we know the sins that marred his life and broke his heart and grieved his kingdom. But remember then, King David, you've got a man who was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? My, we've got the Psalms, Christian. We've got multitudes of the Psalms of David in Scripture. And you say, well, what are the Psalms? Oh, the songs. And the means by which we praise, and we'll even finish our service, and we sing a psalm that we love so much, and we sing these words unto God, but they are reminders of the heart of David. David understood what it means to be blessed because sins were forgiven and covered, and they're dealt with in Christ. David had preparation for death because David knew Christ in terms of a greater hope he possessed. And in the approach of death, what preparation have we made? Do we know the King of Kings? Many, many, and rightly so, and it's admirable. Many will know the ins and outs of the royal family. They'll know the succession of kings and queens. They'll know who came after who, and where went who, and what happened when. And these things I'm often in awe of when people can reel these figures off from their mind. But a greater knowledge is a knowledge of the King of Kings, whose reign knows no end. And again, to young and old this day, in the approach of death, is there preparation for it? Notice something else, David's acceptance of death's embrace. David's acceptance of death's embrace. Look at verse 2. He says, I go the way of all the earth. And I put emphasis on that last phrase, all the earth. If the emphasis in the first place is the I'm going here, I understand this. The next emphasis is at the very end. He goes the way, in other words, that every person goes. I go the way of not just the kings and queens and princes and princesses and dukes and so on. I go the way of every person. He understands the grim embrace of death. Now, David had witnessed death many times. On occasions, he was even reminded of death by others. Do you remember in King David's life there in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, during the whole context of Absalom and so forth, the woman comes to King David during a time of family crisis and brings to David one of the great messages that you have in all of Old Testament scripture with respect to gospel truth. For we must needs die, David. We all go the way of the earth. None excluded. David, we must all needs die. And then she gives this great illustration. We're like water spilled on the ground. What happens when you spill water or milk or fluid on the ground? You can't gather it up again. You can't bring that thing back into your possession again. It's never the same again. It's spilled, it's gone, it's done. And David understood this. Here was the embrace of death. I go the way of all the earth. Solomon, this will be your way. And it's been my father's way. And it must be my way. For the queen, during her lifetime, she saw death in many forms. I have no way of ever knowing what went through her mind. What was her thoughts? What were her experiences? As a young girl, she experienced the bombings of London during the war. And as time grew by, she saw the passing of loved ones on various scales. Amid much tension during the very tragic passing of Diana, there she was with her grandsons as a source of comfort and shelter and strength. And there she was bidding farewell to her own near and dear, even in recent times. You know, never would I normally quote, and you can quote me on this, by the way, never normally would I quote the French president in a sermon or in a pulpit, and I probably won't do it the rest of my life in the will of the Lord. But even President Macron's homage to Queen Elizabeth II is touching, and he said this: above the fluctuations and upheaval of politics, she represented a sense of eternity. We know what he means by that. But as with all, whether great or small, rulers or subjects, she herself would and could never live forever. She did represent almost an individual that seemed to be there all times for every person. Some, most would never meet her, but we knew of her. We see her on our coins, on our notes, there on the post boxes, there in every sort of facet of society. An ever-present image, a constant reminder of what seemed to be a constant for a changing nation. And with that aura and that sense, as the French president said, of eternity that seemed to mark her very illustrious reign, we still understand that she's subject to time. And she knew it herself. David cried this. He says, I go the way of all the earth. In other words, what is appointed to every person and to all people is also appointed to me. And my friend, it is appointed to you. You go the way of all the earth. We will all die. And there is not one person, no great philosopher, no one who entertains ideas of rejecting God or atheist in the world that can deny this. We go the way of all the earth, don't we? And the palace cannot hide a monarch from its grip. And the queen or a king upon the throne will never stay the hand of death. No wealth, no power, no prestige, no honor, no kingdom, no reign will preserve a person from that grim sentence that we go the way of the earth. We know this. The question which I think is more searching is the question why. The question that so few want to really deal with and understand and bear responsibility to. Well, we know why. Because irrespective of reign or power, as the scripture makes it abundantly clear, in Adam we all die. My friend, these are not the words of a chosen few, but the words of every living soul, the sobering realization that constrains you and me right now is this. Why? 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 Because we are in Adam. The queen was in Adam. The queen belonged to that line in which death would embrace her. And so do we all. And why none will avoid death is because that appointment is there in the wake of our sin, born in the nature of sin and shapen of all of our transgressions. We, because of a sinful nature and because of the curse upon every man and woman, go the way of all the earth. It's not a mistake. It's not a misfortune. This is the sentence of death because there is a wage to sin. And that's what confronts us. And that's what speaks to us in these days. It was back in 2016 that Queen Elizabeth II said this. And it turns our attention to the book of God that we love and cherish, which gives us the authority by which we know the certainty of the things that we know. And she said this: to what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn than to the imperishable truth to be found in the treasure house, the Bible? Oh, those are words, aren't they? Our dear Queen has known, and I say this with all the greatest respect, that she is not someone that cannot perish. But she even said these words, that we hold the book in our hands that doesn't perish. And long after we've gone, and long after you go the way of the earth, this book remains. And it holds true. And we say, what does it say? What does it preach? We all go the way of the earth because we're all shapen in our sins. We all have a great need of a Savior in Christ. What David accepted here is something of the first step in getting right with God. Not only that we know that we will die, but why we die and what happens after death. And that brings me to my last thought with which I'll finish this day. David's acknowledgement of death's passage. Notice he says in verse number 2 that we have here, I go the way. You see, David was not an atheist. We know that from what Scripture obviously clearly says with his love and devotion towards God. But he was also a man who understood that death was not the end. And so he phrases this and he words it as God gives him this word, I go the way. It's a passage. I believe the more literal rendering is something along this. I am walking in the way. I understand that I'm just passing through and there is now another realm into which I will enter. It is the realm of eternity. It is the realm of another kingdom. I go the way. And thank God because of his hope in a God who saves through Christ. He knows the way to an everlasting way. But he speaks of passage. And he says, I go the way. Do you remember some of David's most heartrending times in life? These are difficult portions to finish with, but I think they're necessary. In some of David's most heart-rending times, he understood eternity. And you know, as believers and Christians, I counsel you to do the same thing, that in the midst of some of the hardest times that we ever experience in our Christian life, live in the light of eternity. And you say, when did David do that? Well, remember whenever he lost his son in the infant years? It was in the aftermath of his painful sin. The child that was born to Bathsheba was stricken and he was dying. And there you can see him, can't you, the king, for what, nearly a week. And he was on his knees and he wouldn't wash and he wouldn't eat. And he was in a state of mourning. And he prayed and he lamented. And every time that God would give him something of strength, he would pray that God might spare this child's life. But it didn't happen. And when the child passed away, the king washed himself and he changed his clothing and he went into the house of God. You know, that's the one thing always strikes me about David's actions there on that solemn occasion. That after he had washed and after he had eaten, he doesn't dismiss his duty before God. No, it's even more intense. I must go and worship God. No, I have lost my son. I must worship. And his servants were astonished. And when the child was living, they said, you would do none of these things. David, why is that so? When the child was living, you wouldn't eat or drink or none of these things. But now he's dead and we expect you to mourn. You're dressed and you've fed yourself and you've had a drink and you're up and at it as a king again. We don't understand that David gives us the answer. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 22, he says this. While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. I shall go to him. But he shall not return to me. Don't be deceived. That's not saying, you know, I will go the way just of natural death. But he understood his hope. I will go to be with him. I will go to him. That's why he could act like this. And then on the other side of the scale, we might say, or the picture, whenever he sees his Absalom's death, well, it's a whole different picture, isn't it? And there we have there in Scripture the great lament of David over Absalom. Absalom, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, my son. I would have taken your place, Absalom. And I can only surmise here, and I believe it's the right thing to conclude from this, is that on the one hand, as he lost a little child in its infancy, safe in the arms of Christ. But here is Absalom, who doesn't know the hope, and he's dead, but he's in eternal loss. It's a passage into a Christless eternity. And David says, I would have taken your place. Much like Paul that we dealt with a few weeks ago. That we would bear the curse for another. We can't. But would to God I would have done it. David realized eternity. Eternity. Where will you spend it? My friend, death is not final. It's not the last port. It's not the eventual resting place. There's going to be a lot of words that we're going to be hearing in days to come we have heard that we don't agree with. But we understand this. It is not the last port. It is not our final resting place in a sense of just physical and nothing else afterwards. It is a way, it is a passage for the child of God. It's the way to our eternal home in the heavens. And for those who die yet in their sins, it's the way and passage into an irretrievable loss. A crisis eternity. A kingdom of darkness. London Bridge has fallen. She went the way of all the earth. Dear friends, soon your bridge between time and eternity is going to be in view. Maybe you're stepping upon it now. Maybe tomorrow your swift day will find you. My God, my friend, there's another bridge to think about here. There's that bridge between time and eternity, a bridge between heaven and hell, a gulf that will never be crossed. But there's a way to God. And in saying London Bridge has fallen, we can say there is a bridge between God and men in Christ that never falls. Here is our mediator that never fails. You will go the way of all the earth. But my friend, go in Christ. Go with Christ. That you might go to Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen. Amen. In closing, can we sing together?